Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We are uncomfortable with silence. As modern people, we have put more and more activity and noise into our lives. Traffic, TV, radio, internet, cell phones, social media, the noise of life. Recently, there's been study after study which explores the dangers of too much noise, too much activity, too much technology. A recent study that I read looked at teenagers and how psychiatrists were very concerned with how teenagers were having trouble developing relationships at a deeper level. We're so full that we have very little time for anything else. Anglican monk John Maine wrote, "Now to tread the spiritual path, we must learn to be silent. What is required of us is a journey into profound silence." My journey of silence began in the 10th grade. I was feeling this nudging, this calling into ministry, and I didn't know what to do with it. So I would go to my pastor and I would ask him these veiled questions. "So, is it hard preaching? What classes did you have to take? Where did you have to go to school?" And then finally, when I said, "How did you know God wanted you to be a pastor?" He figured something was going on with me. So he sent me off to Camp Milwaukee for a week, senior high camp. And it was wonderful. I had never seen so many Lutherans before in my life. I came from a small congregation, and here were all these kids and college students and adults, and we were all Lutheran. I love the devotions that we would do first thing in the morning before we even had breakfast. You know, giving us a sheet of paper to do a little Bible study out by a tree somewhere. Those quiet moments were very helpful. It also was awesome that the week that I went, there were 4 guys to 26 girls. But the real difference in my life was at home. In my room, I had a bed with a nightstand, and I would take my pillow and I would put it right next to the nightstand. And the nightstand almost became my altar. And I would just kneel there and do the prayers that were in that little red My Lutheran Prayer book. And I would ask God again and again and again as I was going through the struggle with vocation, "What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do?" And as I shared in a sermon a couple weeks ago, it was on Christmas Eve that I finally said, "Your will be done, not mine." And as soon as I said those words, the pathway became crystal clear. I had such a sense of call. I had such a sense of what God wanted me to do. All of the questions that I had had for months and months became answered in my quiet room next to my bed. When we enter into quiet time, we find that the silence is often pregnant with meaning. We can see before us the creative and redeeming activity of God in our life. Our task is to listen and to be open. In 1 Samuel, we read, "The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread." The setting of this passage is the sanctuary at Shiloh, which served as the Israelites' central location of worship. It is there that they offered sacrifice and made offerings, and it's there that they kept the famed Ark of the Covenant. Yeah, that same Ark from Raiders of the Lost Ark. It was a time of the judges before King Saul and King David. But imagine, this center of their religious activities, they hadn't experienced a word of God. Visions of God were rare in those days. It was a time of religious ritual without experiencing the transforming power of God. People didn't expect to hear God speak to them. And they had given up that God might speak or do something new. And then enter into the characters of our first reading. Samuel, a young priest in training. His mother, Hannah, had been barren, and she had pleaded with God, prayed to God to give her a son. And that if God were to give her a son, to bless her with a son, she would dedicate him to the service of God. Time passed, and finally she had a son, the son that she had always wanted, and she named him Samuel. "I have asked for him from the Lord." That's what Samuel means. This small child, probably 3 or 4 at the time, is then given into the care of the second character, Eli. Now, at this time, Eli is now old and going blind. But he mentored Samuel in service in the Shiloh sanctuary. There are times in our life when God seems like he's silent, when his word is rare to our ears, and when we don't see the work of God in our life. And yet, God is ready to do something new when we are ready to listen. The boy Samuel is ministering to the Lord under Eli. During this time of spiritual malaise, people are just going through the motions, and it doesn't help that Eli's sons, who are also serving as priests, are jerks. They're actually corrupt. But there is Samuel, every day in the sanctuary, helping Eli with whatever need he has. Perhaps it's filling the oil in the lamps, or helping with the sacrifices and the offerings that are being made, or putting incense into the burning pot. And then after a long day of work, falling asleep, as the light becomes dim with the oil coming out of the candle of the Lord, sleeping by the Ark of the Covenant, and then he hears it. "Samuel. Samuel." There is a tender persistence to the voice of the Lord as he speaks to Samuel. not the fire or the wind or the thunderstorm that we're used to hearing. Just a whisper. Samuel. Samuel. Three times he goes to Eli. And after the third time, finally his master's weariness gives way to wisdom. And he tells Samuel, be still and listen. Professor David Augsburger has written, an open ear is the only believable sign of an open heart. Samuel is able to listen and becomes available to his Lord. And that begins his amazing journey of faith. He becomes a judge, a prophet, an anointer of kings. Proverbs says, when there is no vision, the people perish. It is our duty to be open to listening, to be open to the Spirit that calls and gathers and enlightens God's holy church, to be open to where God might be leading you and us together as a congregation. And of course, there's vulnerability to that. Anytime there is openness to change, or openness to new direction, or openness to God's vision. But it also leads to an openness of mission without restraint, responding to the needs and touching the lives of those who are hungry and thirsty for the things of God, whose lives have not heard a word from the Lord, whose eyes have grown dim to God's vision in their lives. What will be your response? Will it be like Samuel? Here I am. We're invited to listen to God and to heed the call of God who continues to speak to his people today and to respond to his invitation to be bold people of the church. And may we join our voices with all of the saints who have gone before us, who have prayed the classic Christian prayer, Lord God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.